T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Your 7 o'clock keyword is best, as in you're listening to the best local morning talk sports show in the town. Chuck and Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler, Best, B-E-S-T. We're going to talk to Bill Ryder. You know, it's not just us cranking out great programming here on The Fan. It's our other shows, and including some of the national shows. Bill Ryder, you hear him at 6 o'clock most nights on The Fan. We'll talk some NBA with him. And I'd like to get into the topic of dynasties and Kevin Durant and LeBron James, so we'll do that with him.
And I think how Milwaukee gets shoved under the carpet a little bit by the national media. Throw a couple of questions off at him.
We'll see if he agrees on that. We'll do that in about 40 minutes. But yeah, the NBA last night, game 2, Celtics, Cavs. Oh, I owe you money. I owe you another 25 bucks.
Yeah, we bet on that game. You and I both like the Cavs, but since you really like the Cavs, you know, my theory is I bet against you, so I let you take the Cavs. And it looked like, you know, Boston early on with LeBron putting the team on his back, like he was going to eclipse Wilt's record of 100 points for a game. But, you know, Boston took care of business in the second half.
Gambling's not legal, really. I mean, the law passed.
This is why the state's going to make so much money.
Yeah, because I owe you $115.
Because there's people who are passionate and think that this game is a lock, and it turns out to be not the case.
I don't know. I mean, $115, that's a lot of money that I owe you. And I'm not happy about that, but I'll earn it back. We did make a bet that the Warriors would win the finals of the four teams.
Yes.
So that's 25.
Yeah, you could get that one back.
Make sure you track it on Bart's Bets on your phone. I know you keep track in your notes.
Yeah, I keep track of all the bets that we do because we lose track.
Right.
And I asked Rhodes to keep track, but I think he's not going to do it.
No. So you make sure to write that one down.
The bets that we have going, the MVP bet, where you have Giannis winning an MVP. I gave you 5-1 odds.
Thank you. 100 bucks.
Nick Franklin makes the opening of the roster. Paid me for that one. The Brewers will finish 10 games out of first place. You said they would. That's a $100 bet.
Yep.
That's the only one we got going right now.
Well aware of that one, too.
That's the only other one.
I mean, I do think that the Warriors, you know, I know they got to play it out, but I do think they won the finals when they won game 1 in Houston, game 2 of that tonight. I was tweeting back and forth with people last night about what if the Celtics win the finals. I don't see that. I don't see that happening, and I don't want it to happen. I'm going to tell you, as a Bucks guy, every time the Celtics win a game, when I see Marcus Morris sitting on the baseline screaming, I cannot stand this team. I hate them more and more with each passing game, and with every win that they get, it bothers me to know that how far the Bucks could have gone if they just had their crap together, man. Well, if they just were able to take game 1, or if they could have won 7, of course, or if Bledsoe had a series where he actually showed up and didn't let Terry Rozier not only get in his head, but use that to become a superstar in this league, if they could have just figured it out, man, who knows where they'd be.
But
right
I think
now.
A lot of teams could say that. I think Washington probably says, you know what, we could have beaten, look at the way Cleveland went through Toronto. That could have been us. Washington probably says, you know, we took Toronto 6 games, but we could have won that series. Well, they probably think they were the better team. Indiana probably looks at it and says, boy, we won game 1 in Cleveland against the Cavs. And now look at the Cavs. They're down 0-2. That could be us playing Indiana. So I think there's a lot of different ways you could look at it. But the bottom line is those teams that are saying those things didn't get the job done. Washington didn't. Indiana didn't. Milwaukee didn't get the job done. But the Celtics continue to win. And I can see, I mean, the Celtics, I've always hated the Celtics back from the Larry Bird, McHale days. when they used to beat the Bucks. So I've always had a chip on my shoulder with the Celtics anyway. So I don't like them any. I've never cared for them because they've always had success.
Well, they're the team I hate the most.
Yeah. Well, I do. I hate them too.
And it's all because of this year. And I think last year at this time it was the Raptors. And I've told you this, when a team beats my team, I want them to lose. I don't want them to go to the finals and make the finals and win the finals so that I, as a Bucks fan, can say, well, you know, we didn't win that year. We didn't even get it past the first round, but golly gee, we lost to the team that won the finals. Who cares?
But see, and I can't, that's how I feel about comparing, well, the Celtics. You know, the Bucks were within one game of beating the Celtics. You know, they lost the game. So we got to just deal with that and move forward. The Bucks are making a coaching change, and you know, they got some get their crap together. I think that was just an indication again that series about just how dysfunctional the Bucks were the entire season, and they just, you know, they're just that nucleus there, just not good enough to win a first round playoff series. But last night's game, you know, LeBron scores 21 of the 27 points for Cleveland, and you're thinking, man, here he is, LeBron doing what the critics think, he's put the team on his back. And then the rest of the way, you know, he just was kind of out there. He still scored 42 points, but I didn't think he had the impact he did like he did early in the game.
And I'm not sure if he was concussed or not, but he took a shot to the face with about 3 minutes left in the first half, left the floor, came back. I know one of the things that people hate about LeBron, if you're a LeBron hater, is how he plays up every time he gets nicked or touched. You know, he makes it as dramatic as possible. But that second half, he seemed off. I thought the Cavs seemed off. It seemed like two things. One, the Celtics, their effort is getting them this far. They are playing, you know, at the highest degree. I always want to say balls to the walls, which for some reason I feel like I should
roll
past.
Well, Cleveland didn't look very good at all in the second
half.
They
looked like they were playing underwater. They just looked like they were playing slow. And watching that game on ESPN, it felt to me like it was a Friday night, you know, 7 o'clock ESPN game in November. When you go from game one the other night in the Western Conference Finals, the intensity in that game, the magnitude of that game, the pressure of that game, and then you watched last night, I thought the announcer, they seemed like they were out of it. The Boston crowd in the second half seemed out of it until JR started shoving people. The whole game to me felt like these guys didn't realize what they were playing for, and I direct a lot of that at the Cavaliers because obviously the Celtics, they're the one team that's giving 110% at all times here. I don't know. What are the Cavs doing?
Yeah, I think the Boston had a large part of it, though. I mean, Rozier had a big third quarter, and I think the Celtics had a lot to do with how bad the Cavaliers looked last night. You know, the Cavs couldn't turn to anybody else besides LeBron. I mean, nobody else really did much. J.R. Smith was bankrupt. Stupid move at the end, trying to injure Al Horford, pushing him in the back. You know, cheap shot there. Should get suspended for a game for that. Should have got thrown out of the game for that. But, you know, the Cleveland, I think the Celtics just had that way of doing it to them, doing that to opponents, just making them look bad. I think that's what happened last night.
Well, also, the Cavs are bad. I mean, there was one time when LeBron was off the floor. The lineup was George Hill, Kyle Korver, Rodney Hood, Jeff Green, Larry Nance.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not winning a finals with George Hill, Kyle Korver, Rodney Hood, Jeff Green, Larry Nance.
No, but okay, you look at that lineup out there, and that just speaks to, okay, if that lineup's out there and they're still playing in the playoffs and they've had to go with that lineup with LeBron on the bench, what does that say about the rest of the Eastern Conference?
Well, take Giannis out of the Bucks lineup. You still have Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton, Jabari Parker, let's say, I don't know, John Henson.
But it didn't produce playoff victories.
No, it didn't.
That's the thing. That's the bottom. I mean, it didn't produce series victories. So any way you want to cut it up, it's still. The Cavs had that bad lineup out there. They're down 9, and LeBron's on the bench. I'm like, why is LeBron on the bench? You know, they're down 9. But that just speaks to just how poor the rest of the conference is.
799-1250, the number to call us. As always, Rams on the north side. Good morning, Ram.
Hi, Ram.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, I had a quick serious question for you, Bart. Your brother works for the Warriors.
Oh, how'd you know that? Do I talk about that all the time?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. It's two questions. I want you to be honest. How far are the Milwaukee Bucks talent-wise and from being a contender from the Warriors? Be honest.
What's your second question before I get to your first?
Okay, and the second question is this. Well, in looking at these two games, from being a former basketball player, I played high school and college, one guy is not going to beat five.
No.
Just never going to happen. I don't care what they say about LeBron, even with the Houston series. And this ISO ball nonsense garbage, the Warriors is putting that to rest. Actually, they're putting dirt on top of that. You're not going to get one guy to beat five or six talented guys that's playing together.
And right.
Boston is showing the epitome of that because you got to remember, that lineup that they got, 1 through 10, those are all first-round picks. When I say first-round picks, I'm talking about like top 15 picks throughout each draft. So just from a playing standpoint, those guys can just straight up play.
They're all playing well.
I mean, they can play. Those guys, like the guy that you go to the gym, you see that's getting buckets, and he's waiting on the sideline. Oh, yeah, I think I'll put that guy on my team. Those what you got when you look at that Boston team. You can take any one of those guys right now and put them on another NBA team, and they probably would start.
Yeah.
So the Cavs are just too old and slow. They're really lucky that they ain't being ran out the gym like in the first half.
Yeah, you got Rodney Hood, George Hill going against Jaylen Brown.
But look at all those
Jason
guys.
Jason Tatum.
Jaylen
I mean,
Brown. Tatum is playing well. Rozier was telling you about the big third quarter he had. Horford continues to be huge for that team. I mean, there's all those guys, Bart, I think, are just playing well every game. And that's why they keep winning.
How far are the Bucks away from the Warriors? Jeez, how far are the Bucks away from the Celtics, the Raptors? I'll answer that one. Chuck and Winkler, you guys can chime in. 799-1250. Talk more NBA with the Cavs going down 0-2. The Warriors, they have a chance to do that to the Rockets tonight as well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I have an idea how you could rattle Golden State's cage a little bit tonight if you're Houston, which I haven't seen done yet.
Okay, I'd love to hear that because I don't, as of right now, think that there are any possible ways.
I think there's a way to do it. Yes, I think you can rattle things a little bit there with those guys.
The league can't figure out the Warriors, but Chuck can. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Curry fades the left corners, Durant with a dribble. Crossover, top of the key, crossover again. Takes a jumper off the dribble. It's good over Capella, and KD's got it going. He's got 26.
Defensively, I think we got to be better. I got caught helping a couple times in the first half, and I think Nick Young hit three threes off of those plays. You know what I mean? Some games, some series, you may make those mistakes, and guys don't make the shots. But tonight, every time we did it, they made the shot. So, obviously, they make you pay when you make mistakes.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Chris Paul, little flummoxed after game one, how to stop the Warriors. Freems might have an idea for you. We'll get that in about 60 seconds or so. Do want to remind you, if you're paying more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards, this happens a lot. You buy some purchases, it racks up a little bit, and then the interest hits you. You don't need to do that anymore. You can refinance your debt with a credit card consolidation loan, and you can get those loans from Lightstream. Lightstream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate. Credit card consolidation loans from 5.49% APR with autopay and no fees. That's, in most cases, going to be a lot less than what you're paying through your credit card company. The application for the loan, 100% online. It's simple. It's painless. The money is then deposited directly into your account so that you're in control for once. You can even get your funds as soon as today. Now, apply today and get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rate. So you go to the website. I mentioned that 5.49% APR is actually a better deal for you on there if you go to lightstream.com/Bart. It's the only way for you guys to score this deal with good credit. You get a special interest rate discount. Go to lightstream.com/Bart. That's lightstream.com/Bart. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Bart. Cody?
Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount, available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for important information about limits on Lightstream loans and same-day funding.
Well done.
That's fantastic.
Cody Grant.
You are on your way.
Thanks, well guys.
You know, some people start in this business by, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, started in this business by calling into radio stations in L.A., and doing voices. Cody's start his
radio shopping show.
Yeah.
Actually. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're well on your way.
There was a guy who did radio here in town who started his career by calling into my show back 20 years ago doing Howard Cosell impersonations.
Who was that?
I'm not going to say the guy's name. He works on another radio station here in town. I can't say. But he was so good, and we needed another person, and turned out that guy had college radio experience, and away he went, and he just took off. I started off just calling into the radio station.
A lot of people don't know this. I started by doing my Ed Cedar impression.
Did you?
On the post-game show, yeah.
Even before Ed Cedar was Ed Cedar?
Yep, that's how I got on.
Okay.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Sparky. I just wanted to call in. That's how I got on, yeah.
Was that him the whole time last year? Was that you? Do we really have Ed Cedar on the phone?
Let's see. We talked to
him usually. Somehow you were never in the room when we did the interview.
Let's leave that one up to mystery.
Okay.
I think we can do that.
I think about it. You never were in the room when we talked to him.
That's right.
That's odd.
Have you ever seen me and Ed Cedar together?
That's true.
Okay. Well, let's think about that.
Okay.
So, Frames, you got an idea how to stop Golden State tonight. And
I'll
do want to get to Ram's question, and we will take your calls, 799-1250, where the Warriors are and compared to the Bucks.
I think somebody needs to put Steph Curry on his ass. Too often I see this guy just dancing around, going down the lane, doing whatever he wants out there. And I'm not saying a cheap shot like J.R. Smith last night, but a good hard screen. You know, you're coming over that screen and you're a good hard screen and just rattle this guy's cage a little bit. I think he just goes out there. He's out there prancing around and nobody does anything about it with him. I think you need to send him a little bit of a, give him a little love tap or two.
I'd agree with you if he was the focal point of the Warriors, which he's not right now. It's Kevin Durant.
It's Kevin Durant, but I think you need, Curry's still a major threat on that team. And I think that I just could never understand why nobody ever does that with that guy. Just goes around, does what he wants, you know, outside the perimeter, and nobody ever lays a body on him at all. A hard body.
You know, as someone who roots for the Warriors, I can tell you if they make it to the finals, I'm worried about the Celtics because I thought Draymond should have probably got kicked out in game one early. Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart on Draymond Green, that is not going to end well for Golden State.
No. You know, the Celtics will do, if Cleveland doesn't overcome this deficit here, the Celtics with Stevens will do a few things, I think, to and they're doing with LeBron. After the first quarter, they did a few things with LeBron. Took him out of a little bit, elevated, made him take shots that you know he probably didn't want to take. Stevens will do the same thing.
All right, Ram asked us a question. How far are the Bucks away from the Warriors? Where do you even begin? There was one specific play when
can't
I
even
watched.
Compare it.
You can't.
Can't.
There was one play that I watched that made me think of the Bucks in Game One on Monday night, and it was just a simple rebound, and Sean Livingston was under the hoop. He was the closest guy at it. He couldn't grab up and get it.
Mm-hmm.
But Sean Livingston had the wherewithal to tip it out where there were two Warriors. I'm not saying that's reinventing basketball. I'm just saying that's a thing fundamentally that I don't see the Bucks really do a lot.
Well, for the Bucks, with the stars that they, you know, the so-called stars they have. I mean, Giannis is a star, legit star. Yeah, he's a legit star. But the other guys around him, his supporting cast, and you would think that okay, they'd have some of these weaknesses covered up, but Look at the post defense. Post defense is terrible. They have nobody to defend any of those post players around the league, and they've been torched many times. Their perimeter defense isn't very good. They don't have enough three-point shooting in a three-point shooting league. So those are three things right there, right off the top, that just kills the team.
All right, so if the Bucks are going to be the Warriors, you need a guy like KD. So you need a guy that's going to go to the rack, but if he can't get there, or if the play breaks down, that's the beauty with the Warriors right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've got this beautiful offense, but if the play breaks down, they can go to Kevin Durant, and he can make a shot from anywhere.
Sure.
So that needs to be Giannis. Giannis is far away from KD. So already this exercise is not going to work.
Well, yeah, look at who they have. Look at their guys. Look at their stars, and look at the Bucks stars.
Right. Then you need a guy like Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson doesn't even need to dribble. He doesn't need to touch the ball for quarters at a time. You get it to him, he can knock down five straight three-point shots. So who's going to be Klay Thompson? You needed that to be Tony Snell. What's the difference between Klay Thompson
Light years.
And Tony Snell.
Here's what Golden State does.
That doesn't work.
They make a high. They make a low percentage shot, a high percentage shot, the 3-point shot. I mean, that is supposed to be a low percentage shot. Yet they've revolutionized the game where they turn that into a high percentage shot. They don't miss.
Then, if you're going to be the Warriors, you need a guy like Draymond Green. Who's the closest guy to the Bucks? That's Draymond Green.
When's the last time the Bucks ever had a guy like that?
Parker?
Who?
Jabari? No, I'm not comparing the two. I'm saying who could fit that mold.
Well, but Draymond is a hard-nosed, tough badass out there. Okay, that's not Jabari Parker.
That doesn't work either.
Who? When's the last time the Bucks had a guy like that?
Never.
An enforcer? No, they haven't.
Then we haven't even mentioned two-time MVP Steph Curry. Okay, I guess Middleton can be the Steph Curry on this team.
Not a chance.
Then you need bench guys that come in and perform like Kevon Looney.
Oh, geez.
How much farther ahead as a player is Kevon Looney than John Henson? Way far, which sucks. Then you need a guy like, we haven't even mentioned Andre Iguodala. Who's the Andre Iguodala on the Bucks?
Zero.
Maybe Nobody. You could put Parker, no, hopefully, no, in that mold. Best case scenario, but even that sounds dumb.
Now, when you say that the Bucks could be in the situation where the Celtics are, you know, they could have replaced the Celtics and be in the conference finals. Well, you're answering all your questions right here because they're not as good as Golden State, but not even close to Golden State.
But they could have got through the East if they had their stuff together.
I mean, you could do these same comparisons to the Boston Celtics, and you'd come up short, too.
Yeah, but they took them to 7, so you know that it was there. I don't think if the Bucks make the NBA Finals, they would win a game against Houston or Golden State.
Wouldn't be close.
No.
Well, I mean, they played Houston here at the Bradley Center, and you get two different teams.
The Bucks are light years away from Golden State. I mean, that's clear. But I think they could have done some more damage in these Eastern Conference. The problem was maybe we played the best team right away, even though that's the team we all wanted to play.
I just think another problem is I don't think they have any mental toughness. Their mental toughness is zero. They really lack mental toughness. I mean, you look at Boston. That's a mentally tough team. That's a team that when they face some adversity, they overcome it. They've overcome it in the playoffs.
I think Bill's best take on the Bucks, Bill Michaels 10-2, is that they're a team that doesn't know how to win. That's exactly right. 799-1250. Latrell's downtown. What's up, Latrell?
What's up, guys? I love you guys' network. But you guys killing me a little bit this point with this comparison. They're a good team, but that's what it all is. San Antonio, Boston, and Golden State, they are teams. They pass the ball. I tell my friends and cousins this all the time. You're never going to win with LeBron James just holding the ball. James Harden just holding the ball. Giannis, Bledsoe, Milton, holding the ball. It's the whole NBA.
Isolation, Bill.
The ball, those three teams, they will kill you. They will kill you. They're never out of the game, them three teams. Houston, they turn the ball over too much. They just turn the ball over. They don't make smart decisions. And your coach gives you so much confidence. Those coaches those three teams, they coaches giving them confidence to go play. You make a mistake, they're not going to pull you. They're not going to yell at you. They're just going to let you fight through it. Now, Pop, he's a good coach. He's the greatest of NBA history to me. He will pull you out, hit you right next to him, tell you what you did wrong, and pitch your butt right back in the game.
Yeah, there's a reason why all these San Antonio assistant coaches are being interviewed all over the map. I mean, the two guys that they are talking to in New York – and that's another story. The two guys that they're talking to in New York, both Spurs ties.
We'll talk more about the Bucks coaching search and why people are so upset about where it's happening in a moment. Can I ask you, do you agree with this tweet from Trell? He says, oh, here's Bart again, slobbering over Golden State. Let them rest, dude. You're doing Wisconsin sports. Jeez. Who cares your brother works there? My God. What about what I just did has anything to do with my brother? I'm comparing the Bucks.
Well, somebody called and asked if to compare the Bucks to Golden State, which is ridiculous.
But I'm comparing the Bucks to the team that's won two of the last three NBA finals, the team that's going to most likely win another one, the team that's making basketball not fun for a lot of fans because of how good they are, even when their perfect offense fails. Kevin Durant is there to save the day. You think the Bucks are anywhere close to that?
No, they're
good
not.
Good for you.
They're not.
I want whatever world you're living in.
So you want me to say that guy, just he's getting on you because you're talking too much of Golden State? Is that what I'm getting here from him?
Yeah, comparing the Bucks to the Warriors is not something to do, and I'm talking Wisconsin sports. All right, you want to talk Wisconsin sports? Let's talk Wisconsin sports. Lorenzo Cain had a .276 batting average. He's got an OBP of a 380.
Well, we're going to talk about this.
Christian Yelich has a .298 average, OBP of 363.
We're going to talk about this coaching search. And, you know, they had second interviews with two guys who I think are solid candidates. Ettore Messina and Budenholzer. Two guys solid with Spurs ties. And I think they got to settle on one of these two.
We'll have that next. Bill Ryder will join us as well. You hear him, Ryder Than You, weeknights here on The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, we're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bill Ryder joining us. We'll talk some NBA, talk some LeBron James, talk some Kevin Durant, talk some, hey, why does nobody care about Milwaukee with Bill Ryder, National Radio guy. You hear him weeknights on The Fan. The Milwaukee Bucks interviewing, it looks like, two candidates that we know of got second interviews. Mike Budenholzer, Ettore Messina. Frames, they're doing the interviews in New York, which some people were mad about.
Yeah, I mean, I put it on there and then some on Twitter, and I know some people were like, you know, who cares where they interview? Well, I mean, this is Milwaukee. I mean, shouldn't the ownership and all that be here? Don't you want ownership and all that, those guys to be here? Why should the business be conducted out in New York? So our team is right here in Milwaukee. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that was my my feeling on that. And then I looked at it too, and I was like, okay, if it's all this is being done in New York, is ownership having a big say in the coaching hire? Is this John Horst hire? You know, are these guys who are New York guys, the owners here, are they having a big say into who the new head coach is? Do you have to go through those guys first? I don't know. I mean, like if the Brewers make a hire, David Stearns is going to do the hire, okay? He's going to get the nod from Athanasio, but David Stearns is the guy, really, to hire that job. You know, if they're going to make a coaching change in Green Bay, it was either Ted Thompson or it was going to be, you know, Goodkin starting out making that decision. It's not, you know, it's not Mark Murphy. So I just was, I don't know. Who's making the decision on this?
I mean, personally, I don't care if they interview him on Mars, really.
But you know what I'm saying?
I want the right guy.
But what? I mean, in New York, that's telling me, though. I mean, all this business is being done out in New York. Should it be done here in Milwaukee?
Well, I don't care where it's done, but I think there. If you want to read into it, read into the fact that the owners are going to have a big say in this. And sure, you could say, well, it's their team. You know, they should be able to do what they want to do. But I would like this decision to come from a basketball standpoint, and they don't have really a guy that they trust to make that decision, I guess. I mean,
well, yeah.
Are you going to let John Horst make the decision?
Well,
he's your GM. You should, but
the owners,
they don't seem to want to do
that. And
that's
a large part of it, too, because with, you know, the ownership here.
I don't think Horst fired Kidd.
No, but I mean, the ownership here.
So then what does he do?
What experience do they have in hiring a basketball coach? I mean, what? You know, who's going to be the right coach? Who's going to be the right fit for my team?
They've got one experience, and it was a bad one.
But those guys are businessmen. Those guys should be taking care of in the business area, fantastic, okay? But the coaching, the basketball, if John Horst is going to be your GM and he's going to be your basketball guy, he's got to be the guy who you're going to ride to make that decision. Can't have four guys make this decision. One guy.
No, I agree. I agree with that point of it for sure. And if they hire a coach like Budenholzer.
So you're telling me, I mean, Horst is going out to New York to interview this guy? Why wouldn't he be doing it here? So that means, you know, ownership's got a big part.
We're not even 100% sure Horst is in these meetings.
Exactly. Should be.
That's the problem. So I think that's the problem more than the location of where it's happening. I mean, if we, of course, you know, in Milwaukee, we want, you know,
well, you think, well,
everything to be in Milwaukee.
Well, but you think, though, okay, with the Milwaukee Bucks, ownership would be here. in the city.
You think they do the interview at practice center and show them everything? Sure, get that.
But you have a feeling that these guys are just flying in on game days. And
they are, though. That's what they are doing.
I know.
When do you see the Bucks owners?
But if they're going to be hands-on.
Ad Nauseo lives in L.A.
Yeah, but if they're going to be hands-on like they are, shouldn't they be here all the time? I mean, they're obviously hands-on owners. Shouldn't they be here all the time if they're hands-on?
They don't have to be. They don't want to be.
Okay, well.
I would like them to be here, too. That's not these guys. Well, they have their, Alex lives here. And
then who's going to be, whose final call is it on which one of these guys are going to hire?
I don't know. That's the problem.
And that's another problem. That's a big problem.
That's the problem to me. They could do this interview in Lexington, Kentucky. They could do it in,
I think both of these guys.
Zenwatanejo, I don't care.
I think the two guys they hired yesterday, or they talked to yesterday, I think you'd see either one. If they hired either one of those guys, I'd be great with.
I'd be fine with either one, too.
Messina, accomplished coach. It seems like now we're starting to go over to Europe and get some of these guys who were successful coaches, bringing them over here and putting them on staffs and seeing if they could be potentially head coaches down the line.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Much more on the Bucks throughout the show. I mean, they could name their head coach this week. We are waiting on bated breath for this decision to finally be final. In the meantime, the NBA playoffs are going on. We'll talk to Bill Ryder, host of Ryder Than You. He joins us next. We're going to talk about Kevin Durant and LeBron James. And, to that point, why does the national media ignore Milwaukee constantly in the NBA? At least that's what it feels like. We'll talk to him next. Chuck and Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Going to talk some NBA here with someone who's very qualified to do so. Has covered the Heat, especially when LeBron was there. You hear him weeknights here on The Fan. The show is Ryder Than You. The name, Bill Ryder. Bill, thanks for a couple of minutes. I know that we've got the two series going on in the NBA, and I started doing this yesterday, and so I'll do it to you. I just wanted to say that good work with the NBA all season. The season is over. The Golden State Warriors have won the championship, and now we move on, Bill.
Right, no. I have to go to the Bay first for all the technicalities and all that stuff. But, yes, you're probably right. I do think it's over. It's all over but the shouting and the coronation.
I watch the networks and all that, and I hear radio, national talk. I hear the same topics, same teams being talked about all the time.
I mean, I'm going to respectfully disagree in this sense. I think you're right, but I think Adam Silver very much wants to change that, because he understands that the NFL is a dominant sports in this country and makes a whole lot more money than the other leagues combined, because it doesn't matter what two teams are playing and where you live in the country, you're going to watch those games. I'm a huge baseball fan, but whereas if a baseball game's on and it's not in your market, unless you're a diehard baseball fan, you're not watching that game. I think the league very much, part of the reason the last CBA was done the way it was done, to try to keep guys, and it didn't work, right? Durant went to the Warriors, it thwarted their efforts. But I think that, and I think Milwaukee's a perfect example. If you guys hire the right head coach, it's an if, but you got to do it. It reminds me of when the Warriors brought in Steve Kerr. I mean, I think there's that level of talent because of Giannis on that team and some tough decisions to be made. I think Milwaukee can become one of those teams people are talking about. And I think Adam Silver's dream is that Karl-Anthony Towns stays in Minnesota, Anthony Davis stays in New Orleans, Giannis stays in Milwaukee, Embiid and Simmons stay in Philly, Portland's able to keep Damian Lillard, which looks like they will. And in the long run, because there's a lot of really good young players in the league, you've got, instead of one team that can win the NBA championship and one team with LeBron James that'll play against them, you've got 7 or 10 or 12 teams that have a shot.
But I'm wondering, though, until they get that second superstar here in Milwaukee, or third one even, if that's even possible. I know we like to talk about possibly winning an NBA championship, but realistically, I'm not so sure it's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, or get Brad Stevens, right? Like, go hire the most brilliant coach on the face of the earth. Nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. But I don't know that Budenholzer's the guy, and I probably have a bit of a negative perspective on him because he was such a disaster, just like Stan in Detroit, just such a disastrous dual front office head coach guy with the Hawks. But people love Budenholzer, and he comes off that pop tree. If you can hire the right coach, which is just as hard as drafting the right guy, if you have a top, let's say a second to fifth pick, then I think Milwaukee can be really good. At least for me, Boston's the team of the future in the East, followed closely by Philly. I just did a radio hit in Boston.
earlier today, but I said this. I think Milwaukee can be that third team because I think Giannis is capable of being in a league with 8 to 10 guys, 25 or younger, who can be the best in the game. Giannis, for me, is the favorite to be the best player on the face of the earth whenever LeBron finally actually becomes a human being and starts aging.
Bill Ryder, Ryder than you, you hear it right here on the Fans, weeknights on the Fans starting at 6. I want to ask you about two different guys and get your thoughts on them, and they seem to be very polarizing, and I know I get in Twitter fights about them, so I want to bring it to you. One, obviously, LeBron James, and where do you think his future is? Because I think that last year at this time, I thought it was Philly. He's going to Philly. I can connect those dots, and I think that he'll end up in Philadelphia and run the East for a long time. The more that this season and these playoffs go, I still think there's a very good chance he stays in Cleveland. If they can convince San Antonio to bring Kawhi up there or find another piece, I don't know if he leaves twice, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, last time around, I was pretty certain he was going to Cleveland. And I said it on when I worked at Fox Sports 1 on TV a lot and got mocked. But that was because I had some reporting behind it. I was talking to people. Either I'm not as connected as I used to be, or it's on utter lockdown. I don't know. And I don't think anybody else knows. Just talking, even the rumors, right? Like, I remember, like, what was it, 3-4 years ago when he left Miami, people on the periphery of the periphery of the periphery of LeBron were talking, and there were rumors, there was information, misinformation, but it was out there. It's almost like trying to penetrate the CIA right now in terms of what's going on. I'm with you. I thought Philly in a vacuum was the move at the start of the season, and I think Cleveland has increased the odds that he will stay. However, I'll say this. I don't think LeBron I think LeBron understands modern media and modern fans in a really intuitive way, and I think he understands his lesson from Miami taught him. I was there that first year. People hated LeBron and mocked him when he lost. Then he won, and the entire narrative got changed. I don't think he'll be as bound by the old rules of loyalty and the optics of leaving Cleveland as previous stars. I think he will go where he wants to go. If he wakes up one day and he wants to live in New York City because he just wants to experience life in New York City, he's going there. If he wakes up one day and he wants to play for Greg Popovich, I think that's what he's doing. If he wakes up one day and he wants to run an organization, have all of his friends or very smart entrepreneurs around him, have the keys to the kingdom, he's staying in Cleveland. It's a cop-out, but I think it's going to be a very different paradigm he operates by and figuring out what he does.
Because this is like where Kevin Durant gets killed. He went over to Golden State. I think when they lost, they were up 3-1 and they lost, he realized with Russell there, he wasn't going to beat Golden State in Oklahoma City. And they realized even if they did get past, they weren't going to get past LeBron in Cleveland. And then people judged Kevin Durant saying, wow, he took the easy way out. But in a sport where we judge people now by rings, I just think it was a guy that wanted to win, and he found the avenue to win. So I don't get as mobby on Kevin Durant as a lot of other people.
Yeah, I wasn't that mad at Durant. I mean, I wasn't even mad at LeBron when he went to Miami, and I crushed him that year. I was mad about the way that he did it, the ham-fisted way that he went about it. But Durant won a Finals MVP. And I think Durant's become, not that people care, but a lot less likable. I mean, frankly, and I knew him when he was young and sort of unproven. I don't know if I knew him, but I used to be around him and talk to him as a different guy. You know, he's cocky, he's arrogant, he tells the media he hates these guys. What, I mean, nobody cares. Like, if you're a winner, you're a winner. I think this modern breed of player, and LeBron really epitomizes this, LeBron's belief, and I respect it, is that players should take control of their destinies in the league. It's why he and Chris Paul are high-level guys in the Players Association. We've never seen stars be involved in the union at that level before as officers, as leaders. LeBron believes that player power is the future of the league. And I think that it's made its way down to guys like Durant saying, to hell with what you think. That he didn't like playing with Russ either. I'm going to go wherever I want. And it's a great point. I don't think Kevin should have gotten killed, but I think he cares. LeBron's already been through the ringer. I don't think he gives a damn. I really don't. I think he is going to go wherever in the world he wants and not care one bit about the noise.
Yeah, why should anybody care? I mean, if LeBron wants to play for a winner, who cares?
Durant, we demand these people to be winners.
We want to be winners. We want to work for good organizations. We do. I mean, Bill wants to work for a great organization. He does. You and I, Bart, we want to work for a great organization. We do. What's wrong with working for top organizations if, you know, why?
I agree.
Employment.
I'm from Dubuque, Iowa. I grew up reading the Des Moines Register. It was my dream to work there. I worked there. I got married in Des Moines. I love Des Moines. But I had a career that I wanted to pursue. I went to Kansas City. I'm not a coast guy. I'm a Midwest guy. I went to L.A. I was like, what the hell am I doing in L.A.? But I love the job. Then I went to New York. My wife's about like, what the hell are we doing in New York? But we love New York. I mean, I don't think I'm betraying my state. I love Iowa. My family's all from Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, right? We go back. But the job took me there. You know, you try to make a better life for your kids. You try to have some meaning in your career. I'm not going to judge any of those guys if they want to, including LeBron James. Like, do your thing, dude. It's America, man. Go make your dream wherever it is.
Bill, we appreciate it. We'll be listening to you tonight, weeknights at 6 here on The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.